to the Lord in prayer. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5 once again. Father in heaven, we thank you for your patience and your love with us, for us, and the love you show to us. We thank you that you have given us as a fellowship of believers one room, one restroom, the very things that most of us aren't used to. We thank you that you're more interested in our sanctification as a church and as individuals than we ever will be. The one thing that we ask for you to give us grace, Lord, that we would be diligent to seek your face, to respond rightly as a church body when we're irritated or irritable or frustrated. And we would truly love one another. The honesty that we can have with each other in love is just remarkable, that you give us that opportunity here. Help us and form us and shape us. And we look at this text in Ephesians 5 regarding husbands loving their wives, and we have husbands in this church, in this fellowship, husbands with wives that are challenged at times, each of us would be. We pray that you would teach us husbands how to love our wives. What does that mean? Give us encouragement. Give us hope. And I pray also for the young men and boys who one day will be a husband, that the message today would be at least foundational for them, that they would think of, what are the expectations? What am I supposed to do when I get married? What does that look like? How do I love my wife? What does it mean to love as Christ loved the church? Show us those things today. I pray that you would provide this message to be a balm to women in our church today. Not and guard every woman from bitterness if her husband's not performing up to the standard that they see here in Scripture. Give those women who may be frustrated a willingness to pray and to pray for her husband and to allow you to work. Please help us today, Lord. You know what we need more than we do. In Jesus' name, amen. I think this is really important. It's a great, important passage. We're going to talk once again on giving husbands hope. It's the third part. But I think it's so important that we hear this, because four times he calls four different ways husbands are to love their wives in this passage of Scripture. And if you don't remember anything but this, husbands, love your wives, just as he says in verse 25 of chapter 5, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. So husbands, love your wives. This is what Christian men are supposed to do. And it's not always easy. It's hard, because we are very selfish people oftentimes. Husbands, love your wives. It's easy to love those wives. It's easy to love people that do things we like for them to do. People that favor us in every way, we're happy about that. But when he says, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, you have to understand that Christ died for an unlovely church and has loved His people, even when we were unlovable. And that's what makes the difference here. This is the difference between a Christian's husband love for his wife versus a man who would just love her when she can do things that make him happy. But there are four things that Paul talks about today regarding a husband's love. He says it's a sacrificial love. So this, it's a love, the first one that we'll talk about is love that's purposeful. It's important that you're purposeful in your love. It's a in that it's a sacrificial love. So this sacrificial love is a boundless love. And it's not your love. It doesn't originate with you. It originates with God. We'll talk about this, but I just want to tell you what the four aspects of this Christian love, four ways to love like Christ. The first is a purposeful, sacrificial love. The second thing, and Paul writes about this in verses 26 and 27, is it's a love that's pure and that it works toward sanctifying your wife. A husband's love that's pure. In other words, the motive is for her own well-being, spiritual well-being, for her own spiritual growth. And in a sense, it's a pure love in that it seeks to lift and elevate the wife, the woman, apart from taking her out of the impure world in which we live, the impure ways of thinking. It doesn't mean to jerk her out of patterns of sin, but what it means is to lead her and to love her into becoming all that Christ would have her to be, just as Christ sanctifies his church, setting her apart, aiding her in her virtue as the church of Jesus Christ and her purity before God. And make no mistake, when we talk about the church and say her, the bride, if you are in Christ, you are part of the bride of Christ. The third thing Paul touches on is verses 28 and 29, that a husband's love is deeply concerned with her satisfaction. This is very, very important. So we've touched on three so far: sacrificial love, a sanctifying love, a love that satisfies, or a satisfying love. And this includes the emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being and care. And this is important because Christ cares for and satisfies the needs of his church, of his bride, of you. He cares for you. He satisfies you with good things, the scripture says. And then fourthly, the kind of love Paul talks about in verse 30 is that it's a husband's love is faithful and it's solid and sure. Oh, if a woman needs one thing, if a wife needs one thing, she needs always to be reassured of how solid, how sure, how faithful is her husband's love. I don't know if there's anything that provides healing more for a weary heart than someone to know, for the wife to know that her husband is steadfast in his love for her. A permanent and steadfast, unbreakable love, just as Christ loves the church. Now, you and I both know, we know as men, it's impossible as flawed and sinful vessels to perfectly love our wives. It's impossible. We can't perfectly accomplish what Jesus tells us to accomplish, to be sacrificial, to love in a sanctifying way, to love satisfactorily for satisfaction, and to love faithfully. We can't do it apart from God's power. We have to obey this command. And to obey it, remember what we talked about a few weeks ago, we have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so when you think about how do I carry out this sacrificial love for my wife, one of the first things to remember, aside from the fact of what is this love, what does it look like, is you need to be under the Lord Jesus Christ all the time. Praying, help me to love my wife as you love the church. Help me to be sacrificial. And I think that this is our greatest hope, is that we don't have to love alone. We love with the power and strength of Jesus Christ. And I think this is our hope. If you've ever felt weakened in your love for your spouse, for your wife in particular, and you don't know that you can just keep on pouring out, well, let me tell you, you can't in your own strength. but you can with Jesus Christ. And I know this is true, that he has given each of us as husbands, and if you're a potential husband, future husband, that he will give you the grace as well to love your wife in measure as Christ loves the church and gave himself for her. And I know this because when you were born again, now I'm assuming you're in the faith. If you're not in the faith, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Trust in him and he'll give you a new heart and a new spirit, a new mind will be transformed. And he has made you into a heavenly man. And that means that you have his own nature. And it's his will to love his church in sacrificial ways, in sacrificially, and it's his will that you love your wife sacrificially. So God, I can say this, God has provided for you all that you need to love your wife sacrificially. No one of you here, if you're born again, if you're a heavenly man, can say, I cannot do it. But you may be saying, I will not. But you can't say, I cannot, because God has provided for husbands to love their wives with a measure of Christ's love. And Christ has given gifts, and no one can say, he's not given me enough. For what Jesus has given is enough. Chapter 4, verse 7, but to each one of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. And whatever measure of grace you have received, it is enough for you in your situation, in your home, to love your wife sacrificially. He doesn't give almost enough. He gives you what you need. And you may be saying, I need a whole lot of grace then. Well, if you do, he's given it to you. He's given you enough already. The husband who will submit himself to Christ as his head and his authority and is willing to obey the command to be filled with the Holy Spirit is able to love his wife sacrificially, to sanctify her. And you learn what that means over time, because if you want to love in a way that sanctifies your wife, you pray about that. You search the scriptures. You find out, what does this mean? He does give you the grace. You're able to love your wife satisfactorily, satisfying her needs. And you're able to show a faithful, solid, and sure love which reassures your wife. But if you're stuck, you may say to yourself, I'm stuck. If you're stuck or you find this a hard problem, and you say, I can't love my wife, she's too hard. It's ultimately not her spiritual problem. If you say, you don't know how hard I have it. You don't know how bad it is. I can't do it. She's got too many problems. It's not her spiritual problem. She has a spiritual problem, perhaps, and that can't be denied. But it's your spiritual problem. Because the scripture tells us here, husbands, love your wives. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Period. So, the easy thing to do is, I can't love her anymore. I don't want to love her anymore. I'm justified to not love her because she doesn't love me. This is almost unheard of or unbelievable in our day and age, to say that, husbands, it's your spiritual problem, if you're saying that. The reality might be, it may be that real to you. I'm in an impossible situation. But it's God's command, and he's commanding a heavenly man to love his wife as Christ loved the church. Your spiritual problem, if you feel that way, is fixable. Jesus can and does fix men who don't think they can love one more moment. And I know this is fixable because, as I've said it already, by divine design that you were made to love your wife. And if he designs the heavenly man who's married to love his wife in this way, it is his will and work to accomplish that in your life. Are you willing for him to do the work? That's the question. So let's look at the four ways we're to model Christ's kind of love for his bride, and how then are you to translate that into loving your wife or your future wife? Because I think this is really, I remember as a boy, and I would, oh, I can hardly, and I'd pray, Lord, I want to marry. I want to love someone, and I'd always add, and I want to be loved too. I think that's fair. I want someone I can love. And the older I get, I see that was a God-given desire to express this Christ-like kind of love. I want someone I can love. I want someone, and I didn't know what the breadth of that meant at the time. I just know that that was on my heart. And so for some of you young men, that may be on your heart right now. And it may be on your heart, husband. You may even be thinking, and each of you know your situation, but if you're thinking, I just want a wife I can love, and you're already married to one, well, you've been given one to love. So now this is where it comes down for you and the challenge given to you. So the first type of love, the way that we can model Christ's kind of love, is to look at verse 25, husbands, love your wife, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. This is a sacrificial love. It's a self-giving, self-denying, self-abandoning type of love. This is God's kind of love. In man's fallen nature, we don't have any true desire. We don't have the heart or the stomach for a Christ kind of love. In our flesh, there's always something that's me-centered and self-focused. What am I going to get out of this? And as Christians, we can, and we do, struggle with this. What's in it for me? But we're not to be walking in the flesh, but to be walking according to the Spirit. So the challenge for us to love sacrificially is to seek the face of God, telling him, tell the truth, I want things my way, but you want me to be sacrificial as Christ died, gave himself up for his bride. Give me that kind of heart. I remember wrestling through that a long time ago when we were first married. I was really butting up against, my wife didn't even know, but I just was thinking, I want. And this passage of Scripture right here, I'm so glad it's in the Word of God. I'm glad for this instruction because I could then see I was not thinking sacrificially. I was not thinking in self-denial terms. I remember very distinctly praying while I was taking a shower before my wife got home, God, help me to love my wife sacrificially. Help me to die to myself today and to love her. And that was a turning point in my life. As much as I loved my wife, I needed to grow deeper. And as much as any of us love our wives today, we need to grow deeper. We need to be able to show, of all the people on the face of the earth, we need to show our wife, what does this Christ-like love look like? And there's the opportunity to live a sacrificial life before your wife. Now, sacrificial love is personified clearly in the person of Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8 probably gives us our best picture. Paul writes to the believers, he says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be taken hold of, But he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, and being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. These verses define Christ's kind of sacrificial love, and it's that which we are to model. He didn't draw upon his glorious privilege, the privileges that he had as the Son of God, as he prayed in John chapter 17, "Return to me the glory I had with you before the foundation of the world." So he had glory, but he set it aside. He's the Son of God. He's 100% God, yet he didn't, on earth, he did not take advantage of or make use of his divine privileges. He made himself nothing. He didn't make himself the big guy. He was obscure in many respects. He took on the form of a servant. And this form, when it says here that he took on the very nature of a servant, he never deviated from that. He took on the very form, as much as he, in the form of God, being in very nature God, his godhood, God, his being God, the Son, never changed. He didn't stop being God the Son. He was always God the Son, but he didn't take advantage of his divine privilege. Instead, he made himself nothing. He took on the form, the same idea of the nature of a servant, and he never changed, never deviated from having that servant heart. The self-givingness about him in his life. He didn't have me time. Now, I say that we can love with a measure of Christ's love. We are fallible. We are prone to weakness, prone to wonder. There are times, men, that you have to regroup. But even if you are taking some me time, may it be me time for you to grow closer to Jesus, to be more like Him. A purposeful time away that you might be able, re-equipped or renewed, that you can love your wife with a sacrificial love. He took on the unchangeable form of the slave. Never, ever did he deviate from laying down his life day in and day out in every conceivable way for his bride. Never did he deviate from that. But he's given us a measure of grace that we can consistently, we can't ever say perfectly, but consistently lay down our life for our wife and not deviate from that. And you will feel the sting of failure often. And you'll know that you could have done so much better. But in your acute awareness of your failure, I hope that you'll go to Him in prayer and say, here's where I know that I've fallen short. Grant me grace, Lord. Protect my wife from my own fallibility. And pray for yourself and pray for her. And pray for your family as well. But if things are right between you and your wife, it's likely going to be right between you and your children as well. We love sacrificially as we see Christ in His service and His sacrificial love for His wife ended in His death. Now, none of us can lay down our lives unto death for our wife with any great value, as Christ's death was superlative in value for our salvation. There was no other way for us to be saved. But we model that in the giving of ourself and the laying down of our very life for our wife. And don't think that that doesn't have an effect on the health and the spiritual well-being of your wife. When it is evident that you are doing life for her. And remember, Christ didn't die for His bride because she was holy and pure and good. She wasn't, we as the church were not worthy or deserving of His love, because we're prone to being unlovely, that Christ died for his bride when she was dead in trespasses and sins. Christ died for his bride when she would no more want him than the man on the moon. We're so prone to only love those that are lovely. We're prone to love our spouse when she's happy or when she's doing things that we like. And then we are happy to love. Oh, let me just shower my love. Or you'll love because you hope that you'll make her happy and somehow she'll do everything you want her to do. You know, Valentine's Day is notorious for that. I think I'll buy her a big old ring. Then that'll change things. And then you're disappointed when it doesn't. And then you stop loving as you ought. Now, men, it's good to admire your wife. It is good when you admire your wife and you think about all the aspects of her virtue that you think so highly of. She may be beautiful and probably is for you the most beautiful woman on earth. You may admire her winsomeness, her kindness, her sweetness, the gentleness she shows. But let me ask you, if all those things you admire disappeared today, if all those things disappeared today, would you be obligated to love her sacrificially? And you know the answer to that question. If all the virtues you love went south today, you would be obligated to love her sacrificially. That's where you pray, God, help me. Because your flesh is so weak and not even willing to love the unlovable. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, God's power, you can love with that Christ-like kind of love and love the unlovable. And I think you're even more obligated to love when your wife is having a bad day or a bad season of life, or if all the things that you admired most disappear, you're even more obligated to love her sacrificially because she needs to be under the influence, the greatest need she has. If she's lost virtue or the sense of losing joy or losing faithfulness even, the greatest need she has is to be restored and healed. And the only way that can happen is to be put under that kind of love. So instead of getting mad and digging your heels in and saying, that's it, she blew it, the gym train has left the building. There's got to be, God, I need to die to myself that Christ can live in me and through me for her healing and her restoration. And it may not come. You have to know that it may not be fixed tomorrow, her problems. I'm kind of moving ahead. That's that sanctifying type of love, a love that is pure. A love that's pure, tainted love will always put limitations and restrictions. And most of us, if not all of us, we all are tempted because our love is impure. If my wife is in need of spiritual uplifting and healing, I can bear it for a little bit of time, even in the flesh. But when it goes on, and on for weeks and months, perhaps years or a lifetime, I need a Christ kind of love that comes from a life of dying to myself. You need that. I need that. A sanctifying love is a pure kind of love that has the purity of Christ, that's long-suffering, that's forbearing, that is firm. We have to remember, a sacrificial love is self-giving. A sanctifying love is oftentimes firm, but never unloving. It's never selfish. Its purpose is for the well-being of your wife. The healing and restoration that she needs will come as you love her purely with that sanctifying type of love, a love that a firm kind of love that's instructive and helpful and supportive and reassuring. And all these kind of come in together, and it still requires divine power. It's still sacrificial when it's sanctifying. And you also find that it's also aimed at satisfying, and it's also faithful and sure. So they all tie in together, to be sure. It's a love that causes growth, healing, promotes strengthening of one's faith. When you came to Christ, as He spoke His word to your spirit through the Spirit, you became assured of something, and that was your past sins were forgiven. And as time has gone on, as you walk with Him, you become more sure that when He says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, in spite of what you've done, what does it cause for your soul? Healing. When the accuser accuses you and says, you're not good enough, you don't deserve Him, he shouldn't even be seen with you, speaking of Christ. And yet you've learned through His sanctifying love over the time you've been, He has set you aside and taught you that never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It has healed you. It has healed you. And so this sanctifying love is a pure love with no other motive than to protect and to bring healing and restoration to your wife. Your wife, many men are married to very powerful women spiritually. They've grown up, they know the scripture better than he does. They're on fire for the Lord very often. That husband is at risk of not prayerfully seeking God's counsel. How can I love this very strong, very competent, this independent woman? How can I love her with a sanctifying, pure love? Most men are prone to give up. Most men are tempted to bring her down a notch so we can grow up together. But a sanctifying love is able to practice wisdom in order to help his wife to continue to grow and to continue to maintain spiritual vitality. So it works both ways. A sacrificial love for a very strong woman is hard. A sanctifying love for a very strong woman can be daunting, but it's what God has given you. And He has equipped you with the appropriate measure of grace that you can love her sacrificially with a sanctifying love that will aid her in her spiritual development. Don't quit because your wife knows the scripture better than you do. Don't quit because she knows how to pray better than you do. Don't quit because she's showing some spiritual acumen for wisdom and insight that you don't seem to have. Don't quit. Don't quit asserting yourself before the throne of grace, seeking help in your time of need. We've got to remember that. It's a love, this purifying love is a love that provides assurance. A lot of homes are in trouble today because the men have stopped seeking God's face of how they can love sacrificially. I remember hearing men say so much and giving me counsel before we married. There's two words you need to know, Jim. Two. And learn them well. You guys already know what I'm going to say, I'll bet you. I said, what's that? Yes, dear. What an insult to manhood. What an insult to women. What an insult to the sanctity of marriage. Two words to avoid if it means to lay down and shirk your responsibility as a husband. A sanctifying love is oftentimes firm. A sanctifying love is always gracious, but it always stands on truth as well. It's a satisfying love, and then we're going to wrap it up. Believe it or not, we're almost These two we've kind of covered as we've gone through without necessarily saying them, but it's a satisfying love. Verses 28 and 29. The easiest way to provide a satisfying love is to continually, not hovering over your wife, but to show her, make her understand, let it be your pattern of living, to know that you are concerned for her welfare, spiritually, emotionally, physically. That you're as concerned for her as you are yourself. And that's hard. We've got things to do. As a man, you've got your responsibilities. And it's easy to get caught up in them. But don't forget to show as much concern for her as you do for yourself. I think that's what Paul's saying as he points out about Christ. He says, in the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. Concern for her as much as you have concern for yourself. Make her know this, that you care for her. Make her know your love is a caring love. It's so important. It might make you feel weird if you've not done that for a while. If you've not thought about these things, it might seem odd. But as learning any discipline, it will feel uncomfortable at first. We were just talking yesterday. You'll appreciate this, Trevor. What is this position? The chamber. It is the most uncomfortable position in crowd. And Trevor would always say, farther back. Get the back deeper in the chamber. That's so tiring. I'm not even going to do the chamber anymore. But if I'm going to do karate, I have to get in the chamber. Right? In gymnastics, I always tell the kids 1,000 times a day, literally. Right, Bennett? 1,000 times a day. Arms glued to the ears. And it feels so uncomfortable. But if they're going to play gymnastics, they have to get their arms glued to their ears or they're going to get hurt. If you're going to be married, you must love your wife. If you're going to be married, and if you are married or going to be married, you must love your wife with a sanctifying love. If you're going to be married, you must love your wife with the intention of satisfying her. And then finally, if you're going to be married, you must love your wife with a faithful love that is solid and sure, a love that is permanent. When you were counseled, and I hope you were counseled for marriage, you were reminded of what Paul said here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. It's easy to see you're to leave your father and mother. In other words, shift relationship status. The primary relationship is your wife and you. And remind your children of that if you have children. The primary relationship in this home is my wife, your mother, and me. And I assure you, they're going to be happy to hear that. It takes a great deal of pressure off your children. But if they feel like they're the glue holding that family together, they're going to be nervous and anxious. You cannot put that kind of pressure on your children, parents. That you leave your primary relationship is your marriage. You cleave to one another. Leave and cleave and weave your lives together. Leave, cleave, and weave. Well, failure will happen when it comes to marriage. It'll happen when it comes to how you love your spouse. It will happen. But I want to assure you, this is what you were designed for, to love your wife as Christ has loved the church, to be sacrificial, to have a pure, sanctifying love, to have a love that is intent on satisfying her needs, and a love that is solid and sure. And if you fall short in those areas, and I know you do, pray. Become a praying man. Focus your attention on your marriage for a while, on your wife, and and see what happens if the rest of your life doesn't get in order. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for this passage of Scripture. It's impossible when we see it and when we read it, when we think about that's what we are to do. But yet you've given us power through the Holy Spirit. You've given us a new heart and a new spirit that we can obey you and do this. And I pray that you'll give every man a desire for persevering, as uncomfortable as some of these things may be, if they're being exercised in applying the idea of sacrificial love, that you would condition the spirit, the soul, and mind of each man, that you would provide spiritual nourishment, that they would have the strength to persevere today and tomorrow. We pray for your help and for your grace, O Lord, and I pray for wives that you would help them, that they would see when their husbands are attempting to be obedient to you, that they would rejoice and give thanks to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.